Okay, so we're at Simon Reishmem, at the beginning of Hilchos Kivud Avim. So many of the Gemaras of Hilchos Kivud Avim, certainly that for tonight, this focuses on Maseches Kedushin, Daf Chavtes, and then Daf Lamed, Lamed Aleph, etc. So the tour here pretty much comes out of the Gemara, I believe. And the tour, let's read, I guess, the tour inside. Mitzvah Aseh Sheichavid Adam Avi V'Ima V'Yarim Yifneham. That there's a mitzvah Aseh to honor one's parents and to fear them, or, you know, to have awesome respect or of them. Now, it sounds like they're both mitzvahs asis, which then becomes an issue when it says usser to do a couple of things. Right? If it's usser to sit in your father's seat, so does that mean that's mitzvahs asi or mitzvahs lis asi? Probably it's a mitzvahs, it's what you call a lav, a isser asi is probably the way it is. I mean, it's framed as a positive mitzvah, but it actually has negative connotations, which therefore would mean that you wouldn't be punished for its violation. So anyway, that it's the idea of kavod is connected to the idea of covering your parents the same as kavod for Hashem. And it says, and it also says, kavidus Hashem mehonach, which is a pasuk in Mishlei, also interesting glimud. And then also says, it says, ishim yov aviv tira, uv mora hamakum demar es Hashem elokecha tira. So that's a little more familiar to us. That's in, you know, those are two psukim in the Torah itself. So Amar Chacham Shlosh Shoshim Yesh Ba'Adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vavi Imo Bizman She'Adam HaChavid Es Aviv Es Imo Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'alin Aleichem Ki Ilu Daras V'Neichem L'Chavduni. That there's three parts of creating a person. So if a person is honoring the father and mother, so Hashem says, oh, I'm with them and they're honoring me as well. V'Chavud Hiktim Av L'Aim. And with regards to honor, the father comes before the mother. It says, Kavedes Avicha V'Yasimecha. U'V'Mor Hiktim Aim La'Av. In the pasuk, it says that the mother comes before the father. Why? Yishimova Vivtirao. So Lumot Shishnehem Shavim. That actually teaches that they are equal between them. Bein L'Chivud, Bein L'Mora. Whether it's covered, whether it's Mora, so both parents are responsible. In the Beis Yosef here actually quotes from the Gemara on the side here, at least in mine, it's a side. He quotes from the side that quotes from the Gemara, Sham Tanya Rebbe Omer in the Gemara, right towards the bottom right of the Beis Yosef. He says, Galavi Adulif Nemi Shomer Vaya Olam Shaben Mechavides Imo Yosermi Aviv, that a son honors their mother more than their father. Why? Bifnei Shem Mishtad Laso Bidvarim, because she's involved with him in more things. I mean, the mother is home, the mother takes care of him. So l'ficha hiktim ha'kasuv kavod av l'chavodim. Therefore, the pasuk put the father before the mother to remind you that you have to honor your father as you do your mother. And the same thing would be the opposite, right? It's also known if name Yisha Amar Vayaha Olam Shaben Misyari Mi Aviv Yosrim Yim. That person fears their father more than their mother. If Neshim Alam the Torah, because the father teaches them Torah. Why that means that there's more fear is unclear. But anyways, if Neshim Alam the Torah, Lefika Hiktim Akasim Mor Aim Lamor Ab. Therefore, the Torah itself flipped the order to remind you that you have to fear your mother just as you do your father, and therefore leaves it as being equal. I believe there is a Shailin, I didn't find. I believe there is a Gemara that discusses what happens if both make a request of you at the same time. Which do you follow? I think that's one of, like, you go in the middle and quack like a chicken or something. I think that's the. I think the Gemara might comment that the mother is responsible to honor the father. You go to the father. What if they're divorced? I believe there is a Gemara like that, but I didn't track it down.
Sometimes they do different things, like contradictory things.
Right, that also is true. I think that Gemara is set first starts off by saying, well, you know, which one do you follow if they both make requests? Well, you follow whichever one requested first. And then it says, what if it's at exactly the same time? So then it says, well, you go to the middle and quack. I don't know. All right, so fine. So that's Aleph. It'll do Beis as well. That's probably how far we'll get tonight. So Beizu Mora Beizu Kibbutz. So what is Mora and what is Kibbutz? So Mora lo omid b'makomo v'lo yoshe b'makomo. So Mora is that you shall not stand in their place and you shall not sit in their place. So what is that? So Perish Rashi makom ha'miyuchad lo. So what does it mean by standing? The place that is unique to him. Lamot sham b'sod zekenim im chaverov le'etza. I think what he's describing is the place where the father would stand with the other elders in order to give or receive advice. I mean, they kind of had their, like, discussion groups or something. So if the son then goes ahead and takes the place of the father, so then that would be problematic. So b'haramah kasuv, so that's Rashi, and the Ramah comes and says to hu adin b'makom hamiyuchad lo l'hasei v'veisa, the place where he relaxes in the house, which sounds like not the place where he's going to sit. The Ramah seems to be interpreting that as the place where you. The standing place is this, Right? Velu soser dvar, velu machir is a period. So that's the end of that first discussion. So the Beis Yosef says that this seems like it's a machlokas, but he says it's not a machlokas. He says, the Beis Yosef, at least in mine, the last word on the line is veli, about 10 lines down. In the Beis Yosef, you see that?
The last word is what?
The last word on the line is veli. There's a period and then it says veli. So veli nira. We have the same printing.
Oh, here it is.
So far, so good still? Okay. So venira, veli nira de l'rashi nami usser, that according to Rashi, that's also usser. Velo itzirich le l'rashi l'ashmina dahainu lo yashav b'makomo. Right? Rashi didn't mean to say that that's what it means of not sitting in the place. The katani v'bright, sorry. And that's not necessary for Rashi to teach, because he learns that out from Lo Yeshiv Mekomo. I mean, it doesn't mean not to recline or hang out, you know, where your father sits. That's included in don't sit in their place. So Rashi at the Kam, the Ketanya Raisa, El Delo Omid Mekomo Huda Asa. Rather, Rashi is coming explicitly to explain this, right? The Havadai Lo Mitzer Le Lamod Meumad Vemakum Sh'aviv Ragil Leshiv, that it certainly is not asering him to stand in the place where the father regularly sits. So that's not the that's not a problem. I mean, where the father sits and you stand next to where your father sits, so that's obviously not a problem. But where the father stands, so that's what Rashi's adding on, right? That if you go and take the place of your father, so then that's going to be that's already going to be a problem.
You're standing in the place where he stands while he's still within,
right,
it's still there. It's
yes.
Not like you're, you know, substituting for him, or, you know, coming because
or
he goes there.
Or substituting. No, or substituting. If he doesn't show up that night and you decide to take his place,
that's one thing.
I think that's also problematic.
Yeah, in fact, I would think so. Yeah. More.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm lost. Why is there a machlokas? I mean, and why? And how does
it seems like this Rama is commenting on the lo yamod. I mean, how do we understand lo yamod? So the way the Torah understands is Rashi holds it means that you're not allowed to stand where the father stands. The Rama says it's coming to describe a situation of not your father, like sitting is your father's place at the table, and those don't stand means don't sit in the place where your father sits around the house. I think that's what it means. So it comes to Beis Yosef and says, no. They both agree with each other's shitos, right? Rashi is just describing what specifically it means to stand and a situation of standing. So Rashi is going on and explaining a situation of standing. The Rama, I'm not sure, I mean, the Rama is a, the Rama is an interesting commentary. It's not really like, the Rama, most yeshiva guys learn the Rama when they learn Masechta Sanhedrin, because it's like the only Rishon that exists on Sanhedrin. So the Rama is unusual because he's giving you the Gemara just with words added in. I mean, as opposed to Rashi, which gives deeper Rama skills and, you know, picks words and then explains what those words mean, the Rama is just giving you a pshat. He's just reading the Gemara, so it'll take twice as long as the Gemara itself, but he's adding things in. So it's often unclear what exactly the Rama is picking on. I mean, what exactly is this diyuk? So it might be what is problematic here. Okay, so so then he adds in as well, v'chasar b'nei yurcham b'shem ha-Rama. I mean, maybe this is really what the Rama meant by place not to stand. The makom ha-miyuchad lo-aviv li-hispala, sham ha-vi b'chal lo-omid b'mukamo. That if your father has a makom kavua, where he stands, so that's going to be problematic. So that's how the Rama would understand the prohibition of standing, etc. Fine.
It could be like a place where he's diving. That's a makom kavua.
Right. No, I think that's what he... Makom kavua li-hispala, yeah. So comes the... Then he adds in here, I'm not sure why this is... and then the Orchos Chai quotes here in Bedek Vayis, he quotes here an interesting idea, although it seems to be rejected the halacha, but Kasav Orchos Chayim Sha'asur Leshiv B'tzedo, you're not permitted to sit next to your father either, below Mitzvah, without anybody in between. Behavi Raya Ladavar, and the Orchos Chayim quotes a proof to this. So that's a little okay, very nice. What proof? So if I guess in the Hagos Faros on the bottom, in Dalid, he tells you what this proof is. He says Rayaso Minach. His proof comes from a Beferish story in Navi. Actually, it's probably the most read Haftorah, because it comes from Haftorah Machar Chodesh. Shmuel Aleph Parakaf Pasuk Hafei, Gabi Yehonasan Shelo Ratzel Leishiv Liad Aviv Shaul Kishenifkan Makom David. that Yonasan didn't want to sit next to his father Shaul when David left, right? And that Haftorah describes David hanging out in the forest waiting to hear, have a report from Yonasan about what happens at the party. So David's not at the party. David, there's going to be an assassination attempt on David at the party. Right? So David's not there. The pasuk says, "Vayakim Yehonasan vayishav Avner mitzad Shaul." That Yonasan got up and had Avner sit next to Shaul. Vayifkad Malkum David and took the place of David. And Rashi explained. The place of David was empty. He was next. I mean, Avner was next to Shaul, and David's place was empty. I mean, there's nobody in between. Okay. Peirusham Rashi Mesudas David Shein Derech Haben Lios Meisiv Beitz Lavi, and that's what Rashi says there, right? That the son is not the derech, not the way for the son to sit right next to the father. Shadarkan Hayalechol Mesuben Al Hamitos by a David Meisiv Ben Yehonasan Ben Shaul, and describing that people used to lean over, and David would sit between Yehonasan and Shaul after Shalom, and now David didn't come. Lo hisiv Yonasan achi yashav avdim mitzad Shaul. So therefore, because David wasn't here, right, and David, it would normally be Shaul, David, Yehonasan, Avner. So Yehonasan switched places with Avner in order to have Avner be next to Shaul. Why are you looking at me like this?
How do you have a riot from the king? What do you do at home?
Yeah, I chose to think.
What do you do at home? It applies to your father, also applies to your mother.
Yes.
Because they're equal.
Correct.
What do you do around the family?
That's a good question.
Who's going to sit over?
That's a good question.
I gotta have the neighbor come in because he has the same thing.
So two things. One is right. You're riot against. Say, well, he's the king. That's different. It's a little hard to say that because then everybody would have the same chiyuv. I mean, you have the same problem with anybody sitting next to you. If it's a din in the king, so then it's a problem with Avner also. Right, so it have to be a parent thing. But the other side is, he adds in here, that the issue is being mesuben. Yeah. Right, that might be the problem. And in fact, that's actually talked about in Shulchan Aruch as well, in Hilchos Pesach. That's a discussion about a son being at the table of his father, or a Talmud being at the table of the Rebbe. And I think in Shulchan Aruch itself, it says, well, we assume that the Rebbe is mochel. Right, Lutzorach Mitzvah. Right, because the Seder is a Tzorach Mitzvah to be Mesuvin, so therefore we're going to be Mekel. But this wasn't Tzorach Mitzvah, so therefore not necessarily Mekel. But it might only be talking about Mesuvin. It might only be talking about...
Since we don't recline.
But if they always recline that way, if that's the way the Derech was to eat in those days, what do you do with family?
Sit around. Well, it's also that the implication is that they're at a dais together. They're set across. That might be a problem. But you're right. You know, I hear. I mean, the Ruch HaSchaim doesn't make it past the Beis Yosef. He's quoted here in the Pesukei Chu. He says, "By the way, there is a Ruch HaSchaim. We don't rely on it." Yeah. But it's an interesting idea and it's an interesting source as well. You will have to explain Pshat in that story in Shmuel. One way, you know, you have to figure out another Pshat for the story in Shmuel if you don't want to accept them.
They have small tables, then, so it could be.
Right. They had their individual tables. Oh, that doesn't help matters.
It helps a little bit. Kids could be at one table, parents could be at another table.
Okay. Like it could be if you're setting a lawn, maybe that's where the parent sits at the end of the table, so that the kids aren't next to him. Fine. So that's...
Sit at the other end.
So issue one is placing at the same seat. Is at the same seat. This all comes out of a brisa. The brisa is a Maseches Kedushin. What does it mean to be mora? So it says don't stand in the place, don't sit in the place. And then next it says velo, as Rash, as the Torah comments here, velo soser et dvarav, velo machriya et dvarav. That you shall not contradict their words, nor can you be machriya his words. So what does it mean? So not contradicting is not saying opposite your father, but not being machria. So Rashi says that im hayacholik im echad b'davar halacha, that if he's arguing with somebody else with regards to something halacha, lo yomar nirin divrei ploni. You shouldn't say I think he's right. Very good. Who's right? Who's he's referring? Who would he be referring to by saying somebody's right?
Yeah, even if you said your father's right, it's disrespectful.
Right.
Well, yeah. Alright.
Okay. Right, so that's the Ramah comments. Ramah Kasav, the Einzat Sarach, the Haidu Soser, Svarv, doesn't mean that you're contradicting Dad. Elafilu Nirin Lo Divrei Aviv, but even if you agree with Dad, Lo Yomar Nirin Divrei Aviv, he says, I think you're right. Shinir Kamachriya Divrei Aviv. It sounds like you're judging your father's word. Elim Yeshul Chuva Lahashiv Alachulkim Yashiv. But if there's a Kasha on Dad, and Dad doesn't have an answer, so then you could go ahead and give a Teretz for that. Fine. So the Prisha here, if you look at Prisha Gimel, Prisha Gimel adds in a little piece here. He says, "Near the Hainu Dafka Kisha Omer came Bali Raya Muchreches." It's only if you say this without a definitive proof. You say, "Ah, yeah, I'm listening to these arguments. I like his argument more." That's problematic. Aval Kisheishlo Raya Muchreches. If you have a real proof, a definitive proof. Now, someone might say it might be a machlokas whether it's definitive or not. But if you think you have a definitive proof, Azai Einhu Machriya Ela Hadin Torah Machriya. So then you're not being machriya. The proof is being machriya. Right? And the proof is, and this shows up a bunch of times, right? You see it from the Torah. The Torah plenty of times argues on his father, the Rush. Right? So how does he argue, how can he argue on his father in print in front of the entire world? He says, well, another we find this by other Gedolim as well. Right? If he has a at least what he feels is a definitive proof, so then it's appropriate, then that would be okay. So that's a major heter, right, that the preacher is giving. So in terms of whether either not to contradict or not to be machriya the father, so heter number one is this prisha, where the prisha says that, well, if there is a source that you're quoting, you're not arguing on your father, you're just pointing out that there's a source that argues on your father, and that would be okay.
I don't know.
Is the Rush allowed
I'll mark it, but I don't know.
Is the Rush allowed to say, I think my father is right in this argument, which he probably does sometimes.
With a tour.
Yeah.
Well, if he quotes a source, that would be okay. Now you got to keep an eye on how he does this. Now we'll have to keep track of all the times that he quotes his father. Okay, so that's idea number two that's mentioned in the Braisa. Well, I guess subject number two, right? Not standing or sitting in the place, and then not arguing or not codifying.
It's whether it's in public or private.
So there is the Piskei Tshuva. We'll get that in Shulchan Aruch. The Piskei Tshuva says that if it's just one on one with death, then you can have machlokas. It's nothing wrong with death. It's only when there's other people present. So then comes the tour and quotes from the Rambam a third idea. So Kasav Rambam. Lo yikru bishmo, that you can't call your father by name, lo b'chayev v'lo b'moso, neither when he is alive nor after he's dead. This is a direct quote from the Rambam. El omer avamari, rather you should say my father. Right? Haya shem aviv o shem rabo k'shem achem. Let's say your father or your rebbe has the same name as somebody else. So mishana es shemam, you should change their name. Whose name?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what exactly is that referring to? The preacher here says here, "Ritzon Lomer Shem Hachirim." You should alter the other person's name. Yeah,
I just had this because my grandson was filling out a form for yeshiva, and he asked his father's name. So I'm not allowed to write my father's name down.
That's what the kid said.
Yeah,
your grandson said. Yeah,
I'm not allowed to write my father's name down.
Okay,
so he called his father up.
To ask him his name. Okay, so the Psakim Uchuvos here. He knew what it was.
The form said father's name.
Right.
And Moshe said, "I'm not allowed to write down my father's
name." So he called his father. Tfershus, you mean? Ah, okay. So it sounds like you should change the other person's name. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Right, v'yirali, and then I think, this is the Rambam continuing to speak, v'yirali, she'en li zar b'kach, el b'shem shu peli, and it's only if it's a very unusual name. She'en not called the Shdashin bo, aval, the Shemus HaKorin bo, kolam, for everybody, it's names that everybody uses, like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Ba'arun, or like that, v'chol lashin, v'chol zman, kori behen l'acher, v'eim l'kachlum. So then you can call other people by it, and is not going to be a concern, implying that it's some kind of Marasaya thing, that if it's an unusual name, so people think you're referring to your father, but if it's a name that many people have, right, like, you know, in our shul, we have, it seems to be only four names that people have, so it's unclear who you're speaking about.
It's like two drolls, like David, I didn't take stick.
Right, so then one would be permitted to call someone other than your father by their name. Okay.
I have the impression that you're allowed to say Avi Mori.
Yes.
Frank or whatever his name is.
That's what you do.
But it sounds like
as long as you give him a title.
All right, so we'll see. Piskei Tshuva has a few different kind of shakes it out a little bit.
I'm sure they don't know you from Adam. You gotta give your father's name.
Right. So he has. So when you throw in the Tzorach Mitzvah, so that's a helpful thing. But here, the Pesachim Mitzvah. I gotta look at the introduction. Why he changed it from Pesachim Mitzvahs to Pesachim Mitzvahs? But let's see what he has a couple things to say about this. Okay, so if you look in the Shulchan Aruch itself starts off with something that the Beis Yosef didn't. I didn't see anywhere in the Beis Yosef. The Beis.
We have to find
it. I gotta break it in.
Yeah.
I should have brought my Percocet tabs. You could all put a little sticker. What's Kuf Chaf Gimel doing in there?
It's
Reish, yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Once you bring it all together, you have to collate it. Kuf Lamed Tes.
So Shulchan Aruch starts off by saying, and I'm not sure how many times Shulchan Aruch has this language, because Tzarechli Zahir Ma'od B'kivet Avi'imo V'morasan. You have to be very careful. That's the first din. So there are a few areas of Shulchan Aruch where it actually says Ma'od Ma'od, I believe. Might have been said by Ribbis, did it mention? I'm not sure. But certainly by, it talks about Hilchos Arayos, so there it's there. Tzarechli Srachik Min Hanashin Ma'od Ma'od, that every, you know. When you're a teenager, your rebbe make sure to tell you about that one. I think there's one other ma'od, and then there's a few ma'ods that are around. So this is one of them. As you mentioned last night between Mincha Marv, that he has a few ideas here as to why you would require a little extra emphasis here. One is that yes, it could be very time consuming the lachos of Kibbut Aveim, and it's also something that's part of the natural order. So both of those things, one of them is very time consuming, needs extra emphasis, and two is that it's something that you feel like you're not doing mitzvahs when you do. So it's to remind you that no, you are going ahead and doing mitzvahs when one is taking care of their parents. Fine. So that is halacha A. Oh, actually, well, it's here, the Be'er HaGola quotes it from the Gemara. So the Gemara uses that language, I'm not sure. So the Ramah says something interesting. The Ramah says, and why he sticks this in here is interesting, but it says, Ein Beisin Kofin Al Mitzvos Kivet Aveim. That Beisin can't force you to do the Mitzvot Kivet Aveim. They could force you to do Mitzvot Haseis, most Mitzvot Haseis, but this one they can't. Right? Im Dehave Le Mitzvot why? Da'avili mitzvahs asei shematan schara b'tzeda. Plus, is a mitzvahs asei that? What does that mean? Anyone know? Shematan schara b'tzeda.
The reward is written.
The reward is written by the pasuk, right? So the Gemara makes this comment someplace that if there is a mitzvahs asei shematan schara b'tzeda, that the reward is given next to the b'tzeda. Then Beistin doesn't force him to do it. The assumption being, I mean, the Torah itself gives enough of an emphasis on it. We don't need Beistin to step in and force a person to do it. She'im Beistin kofin ala. So therefore, a person is not going to be forced on. So you can see that there's a long taz here that points out that there's.
So tzedim means a sign or
in the pasuk. Mean next to it in the pasuk. Right, so
I understand, but what does the word tzedim mean?
Yeah, on the side. In order so that you'll have lengthy days. So we'll get into this probably when we get to Hilchos Tzedakah, that the question comes up there. Was it Hilchos Tzedakah? The Gemara seems to imply that we could force and could impose penalties on people that don't give the appropriate amount of tzedakah. And tzedakah also is matan schar v'tzeda, also has the reward that's given along with it. So why is tzedakah different? I actually wrote an article about that topic once upon a time. But that's more of a Hilchos Tzedakah issue than Hilchos Kibbut Aveim issue.
Maybe there's a similarity because it's like there's no like shear. Like I thought that you don't make a bracha.
There is no bracha. Yeah, actually, so he in his student here points out that idea that there's no bracha on it. Right? Why is there no bracha on it? Is a good question. Whether they might have the same reason, might have different reasons. We generally don't make mitzvah brachos on kivud aveim. I mean, mitzvahs benadol l'chavero, meaning get up about to do a mitzvah for somebody. Say, oh, wait, yeah, hold on. I pick you up, but
Kibbutz Rabbeim is listed. Sharon, Karen Kayemis.
Right, there is mentioned there as well. Also, a father could be mochel on it. I mean, just like Sukkah, you might be make a bracha about to give Sukkah, the person might walk away. So too by Kibbutz Rabbeim as well. You might make a bracha on it, and then the parent will say, you're mochel, so then you're left hanging with it. So that might be another reason. So different Rishonim give different reasons. I didn't look up, I didn't review who says which reasons, but there are a bunch of reasons out there why there's no brachos on mitzvahs of this ilk. So the forcing a month in Sarvase is an interesting thing. The Taz has a proof that seems to indicate otherwise, that there's a Yerushalmi that he quotes that seems to say that you could force, and then he concludes by saying, well, you could force a little, but not force too much. I would add that there are different issues of Kivud Avim. One of them is sometimes a monetary issue, and sometimes it is a mitzvah issue. So the monetary issue is often not a Kivud. We'll see. This is one of the issues, the challenges in understanding Kivud Avim. It's actually a mitzvah that should not require you to spend any money. So I was thinking with the proof that the Taz brings from this Yerushalmi is about forcing a person to support the parent. So that's really a tzedakah issue. It's not really a Kibbutz Avim issue. Right? It's really a tzedakah issue because you're the one closest and therefore you're the one who really has the responsibility to support. So it's outside Kibbutz Avim. So I thought that might be the answer, but for some reason the Taz doesn't give that answer. But I have trouble working through it. Yeah, you'd have an easier time working through his Taz because he quotes a lot of sources from different places that he doesn't give you the makaros in the old Taz here. All right. Anyways, so go to Sif Beis here. So Sif Beis quotes the Brisa. Ezo Mor. What does it mean? Mor lo yamod b'mukoma hamiyuchad lo lamod sham b'sod zaken lo yamod b'mukoma hamiyuchad lo lamod sham. Right, that you shouldn't stand in the place where he normally speaks with his friends, with the elders who are his friends. So that is seems to be adopting Rashi's pshat on that Gemara, or Mokan Hamiyuchad Lo Lisbala, which is accepting the Ramaz pshat on that. Right? Don't stand in the father's place. The Lo Yeshiv Mokam Hamiyuchad Lo Lahasi Beveso. Nor should you sit in the place where he normally reclines in the house. Period. Okay, so that's the first category about not standing and not sitting in their place. Right, the Rishach is in, you are allowed to stand where your father normally sits because that's helping them out. And add in the Taz here. The Taz comments by the Mokum HaMiyuchad, Bezeh, right, Taz Beis, Bezeh Afilu HaMida Asur Lo, Kimen She'aviv Mishtami Sham, Gam Kein BaMida. Mash Enkin, Besef, what is this? Mokum HaMiyuchad, Lo Yeshiv Mokum HaMiyuchad Lo Lahasev Veso. You shouldn't sit in the place where he normally reclines. So Bezeh Afilu HaMida Asur. So there, if it's taking his place, so an even stand there would be a problem. Why? Kivan She'av Mishtami Sham Gam Kein BaMid. The father might also use that space in standing as well. Mash Enkin B'Seif, as opposed to the next phrase, where it says Mokum HaMiyuchad LaHasev, a place where he specifically sits. So then Teres Lo HaMid, then you'd be allowed to stand there. Umash Mekan B'Isser HaMida B'Reisha Hainu Afilu Hu Rotze Lamod Olesha. So it sounds like the prohibition of standing there is even if he wants to stand or sit by himself below shum adam imo, without anybody with him, that even if he wants to stand in that place where his father is without anybody there, it's still going to be a problem. Even if you don't want to eat, so even if you're not doing the activity that your father does in his place, so then that's still going to be a problem, meaning the place itself is problematic for you, even if you're not eating where he normally sits to eat or not standing where he normally stands to talk. There's an issue specifically with the place. The Psakim Uchuvus here quotes an interesting issue. He says, what about if that's the only place to sit? So he says, if it's something to aid the parent, so for example, he didn't give this example, but if there's an office and your father wants you to work on something, so then can you sit in his chair to fix his computer? Right? So that seems to be acceptable. And he puts a little footnote here about what about driving?
Oh boy,
driving your father's car. So is that a problem? So he says, well, that seems to be pretty clear that if it's, he quotes somebody, he says, maybe you should be machmer and ask rishus, but I think one could be assumed that if your father's telling you, giving you permission to take the car, so then you have permission to sit in the seat as well. Acceptable. Okay. Right, if it's a kovas, it's okay. Fine. All right, so back into the Shulchan Aruch here. It says, velo soser es dvar, velo machri es dvar. Right? You shall not be soser his words, nor shall you be a machriya his words. So, I'm looking here at the side here. I actually put in the margin here. I know, I forgot, with regards to the kfiya, the minchas chinuch, in the halachos of mora, I mean, there's two mitzvos, right? There's the mitzvah of kivud and the mitzvah of mora. So in the mitzvah of kivud, the minchas chinuch comments that we're not kofa on this mitzvah, because matan tzchar v'tzeda. In the mora one, he actually says you are, because it's a lotase. Right, that's a, you're not, because it's a negative thing, so Basin can force you, can beat you up if you violate the Mora Avim. I didn't see anywhere else.
It's a,
the action of Mora, the fulfillment of Mora, is a negative, is a lotas. I mean, don't sit in your father's, right? They're all don'ts. So the Basin could force you not to do things. So don't contradict him and don't be machriya.
So doesn't contradicting the machriya is under the category of mora?
Yes, all of these are under the category of mora. That's how the Shulchan Aruch, that's how the Sif started. Ezu mora.
Oh, we haven't got the keyword yet.
Right. Ezu covered the Sif Dalet. So in the Sif say in the Shach, so the Shach comments below Soser Dvarav, Bein Shecholik Alav, Bein Sheomer LaHacholik Alav, whether you're disagreeing with him or speaking to the one who's disagreeing with him, Nirin Dvaracha, Havi Soser Dvarav, Venira the Soser Dvarav Aser, Afshalo Befanav. So the Shach says, even if he's not there, you can't be Soser his words. Now, Rishman Beis is not Hilchos Kibud Aveim anymore. That's Hilchos Mora Rabo, which is or Hilchos Kavod Rabo. So there's a lot of overlap between the two, but it could be there are some distinctions between the two as well. So the Shach Kavod seems to say you can't disagree with a parent, even if. Even Shalom Bafanov, which can even apply even for Dvar Halacha. That seems to be what the discussion was about, right? So the father says this, and the other person says this, so I can't contradict the father. So, okay, what does he do with the tour? Right? Not anything the tour said but here, but the tour in general disagreeing with his father. So one thought I had is that there is an idea that we paskin sometimes even neged halacha in order to kind of maintain the Mesorah. Like, so such a concept does exist. Now we could have to pattern that out with the Shach, but the Shach holds this kind of lishitaso. I didn't see if the Shach carries this sheet forward, but this idea is out there when it comes to halacha that we follow. How do we understand we follow the rabbanim even if they're wrong, even if I think that they're wrong? So how can we do that? So one of the answers to that question is because in order for the system to maintain itself, it might require people to do the wrong thing sometimes in order to maintain the idea that the rabbanim are in charge. So maybe it's the same idea here, that in order to maintain the idea of kibud av v'im, it could be that I might be required not to disagree with one's parents with we keep saying father, but really parents, even if it comes to a matter of halacha, even if it's going to be a problem. Now, Bob might not like this, but it's okay, he's in good company, because the Vilna Gaon doesn't like it either. The Vilna Gaon in Gimel says, Befanov, the Hamatzina Shecholken al Havihem V'Rabam. Right, we see that people disagree with their fathers and with their rebbeim. Right, Rebbe disagreed with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. V'harbi kiyotzi, and similarly, and we see that regularly. V'chim machrin, and that's the way that we paskin. Right, so the Vilna Gaon, and here he quotes others later as well, that seems to be the one. When it comes to the matter of halacha, certainly Shalom Bafanov won't be permitted to be cholik on one's parents. The Piskei Tshuva here, as we mentioned it before, Piskei Tshuva Aleph comments, Shekatav Dehaben Im Ha'av Yicholim Lahakshos, that the son with the father is permitted to ask questions and answer questions. Ulahasik Maskanas Ha'alacha Ve'in Bazem Yishim Sosres Dvarv. And that's not Sosres Dvarv. You could come up with conclusions of Halacha, and that's not the idea of contradicting one's parents. You need to fight it out, have a chavrusa with one's father. You don't just have to be a yes man. One is permitted to err. The problem is in front of other people, but privately, those arguments are permitted to take place. So the truth is, I think we have really three exceptions to the rule. When would one be permitted to disagree with one's parent or with one's father? Number one is the idea of the prisha, that if you are quoting a proof saying, no, sorry, but I have a explicit proof otherwise, then his idea was, you're not arguing with one's father, you're just pointing at someone else does. Second idea is here from Piskei Tshuva, the idea that if it's in private, it's permissible. And then the third is the Vilna Gaon, he disagrees with the Shach, but if the father's not there anymore, so then, or is not in the room, so then one would be permitted to disagree, at least in matters of halacha. Okay, and then the third idea that's mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch is not that brisa. Actually, it's unclear where the Rambam got this idea from, the idea of not calling names of people. It's not in the Gemara. And I looked up the Rambam itself, the Kesef Mishnah, who quotes all the sources where the Rambam says, and what does the Kesef Mishnah say? Lo yadati mehichan halachazim. I don't know where the Rambam picked this up from. But it is explicit from the Rambam, it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, not to call by name, not whether he is alive, Lobamoso, El Omer Abba Mari, whether you say my father, my teacher, Hayasham, Aviv Geshem Achirim, Bishan Shemam, you should change other people's names, in Husham, Shehu Peli, Sheena Kol Ragim Likrosba. Unless it's an unusual name, which most people don't use. About Sham Sharagilimbo Mutu Shame Sharagilimbo Mutu Likros Achirim Shul Bafana. But if it's a name where people commonly go by, so then it would be permissible, but as the Ramah, only Shulah B'Fanav. Only when he's not in front. Right. Now the Shach adds in from the Drisha that even if it is in front of him, if it's clear who you're referring to, so then that would be permissible. So the Pesachim Chuvos here quotes where is that? Right, so he quotes a couple of exceptions to the rule. He says, first of all, it's a machlokas. He says there's a machlokas here. He says, number one is the idea of the Ramah, and the Ramah and the Taz both say, Shbifnea av asr b'cholofen, to refer to use the name of one's father in front of him is totally prohibited. And not in front of him, it's only asr if it's a unusual name. But it would be permissible if it's a usual name. While the Drisha and the Shach both say no. The only prohibition is Sha'asarach b'fanav uvashem pali. The prohibition is only in front of him if it's an unusual name. But if it's not in front of him, or if it's a regular name in front of him, so then that would be permissible. Right? So what they're arguing about is, right, are people going to know who you're referring to when you're talking about? He says, "Varov post mechri lahakil kadasa drisha, lachina minig lahakil." The minig is to be makil with regards to this. If it's clear that you're not referring to your father, then it sounds like it should be okay. Now where do you give those exceptions? Oh, here it is.
Piskei Tshuva in the bottom says also, "Nearly the machem sholim minim ben miata muta lomar."
So Piskei Tshuva is one of those more exceptions. If people ask, he's talking about someone asks you. Yeah. That if some people ask you, who's your father, so it would be permissible to tell them, I'm the son of Reb Ploni. Right? What's his proof? So his proof is actually from, it's a backwards proof, right? It's, well, the Marshal says in Maseches Kedushin, the Rush Hiskir Rabbo. We keep talking about the Torah talking about his father, the Rush. Well, now the Rush talks about his Rebbe, the Maharam, right? So the Rush mentions the Maharam by name. Why? Because he had other Chachamim who were also his Rebbe. So Hutzrich Lahaskiro. So therefore, he needs to mention who he was in order to make sure we knew he was talking about the Maharam as opposed to one of his other Rebbeim. Uva Aviv L'chuli Alma Aser. But according to one's father, to mention one's father would be prohibited because you only have one father. Right? V'had ha'tur hiskiras aviv. Why does the Torah mention his father, though? V'v'nish ha'skiru b'lashon kavod. He gives him an honorific. So the Rush kavod harash, meaning like the Rush. Kolomar Rush l'chol Yisrael. Like he calls him the Rush, like the head of all the Jews. Okay, it's also the acronym, but okay. So im kein, k'shahutzrach l'haskiru she'in yodem oso gamba aviv shari. So he says, okay, so because we see that the Rush referred to the Maran by name, we otherwise wouldn't be able to identify him, the same thing would apply to one's father. If someone asks you your father's name, so that he'll be able to identify him, so you'll be able to use the name. So you didn't necessarily have to ask Kishos from...
That's right.
Right. You could show him the Piskei Tshuva next time. The other thing also to call up, use your father's name to call him up for Aliyah. If you're the Gabbai, that's okay. You don't have to get someone else to do it. And if you want to name your father, if you want to Davin on behalf of your father, I guess also Adam on the Mishverach list, so that would also be permissible to mention his name. Why? Plus he has, yeah, he says, Mistama'av Mokhalat Foto, for regards to a mitzvah, right? The assumption seems, we'll see if this carries through, when it comes to doing anything L'shem mitzvah, so then it's assumed that a father or a Rebbe would be Mokhal, and these would be considered things that are done L'shem mitzvah. Okay?
Nowadays, people, you do not call their fathers, but. Father's name is Moshe. If you yell Moshe, most people aren't going to think you're talking about your father.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right. That's right. I thought about that for about 3 seconds. But yes, that's a good point.
To be incorporated, sort of.
Meaning it should be a more of a reason to be able to call other people because you should assume that you're not preferring to your father.
It's not, but.
I hear it didn't show up in the.
I like when they call up Rush.